Our sermon and gospel text for this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I invite you to follow along in the insert or in your own Bibles. Again, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I read in Jesus' name. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.'" Jesus said to him again, "It is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Find a Bible. Now, they're under the seats. If you don't have one with you, find a Bible and open to 1 John 2, verse 16. I believe it's page 862 of the Pew Bible. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. The ESV, and I'm sorry if you are using the Pew Bible, you have the NIV, but the ESV translates it this way. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Keep that verse in the back of your mind as we go through this text, because notice, first of all, how that verse, 1 John 2:16, follows the temptation in the Garden of Eden. Look at that, please. Look first at Genesis 3, verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 5, where Satan says, "God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And then verse 6, "The woman saw that the tree was good for food, the desires of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the desire of the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life." Satan took all of those things that were within Eve and stirred them up, and she took of the fruit, and she fell. Notice that this also is the same pattern of these three temptations of Christ in our gospel text. We'll talk about that as we go through them. Now, today's gospel text comes immediately after the account of Jesus' baptism. He's still dripping with the waters and the promise of God when we read that the Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness in order to be tempted by the devil. And Jesus looks wholly unprepared for this battle with Satan. Jesus doesn't go out into the wilderness with legions of angels attending him. He doesn't even go out with a little band of disciples that he'll call in a few verses. He goes out helpless and alone. Jesus doesn't go out with gear to help him make shelter and to find food. In fact, Jesus doesn't even eat. He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, there alone in the wilderness and vulnerable. It looks as though this is a terrible time for Satan to come and to tempt our Lord. It looks like all that Jesus could do is try to defend himself from these temptations. But in reality, our Lord is going on the offense. He is going out into the wilderness to attack Satan on Satan's ground. Jesus enters the wilderness with the only weapon that will do anything against sin, death, and the devil. Jesus goes out into the wilderness with the Word of God. And if you would look at the verse previous to our text, the final words spoken before this temptation are the words of God the Father speaking to Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so Satan comes. And the first thing that he tries to do is to cast doubt on those very last words of God. He says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." This is precisely the same attack that Satan used on Eve in the Garden of Eden. He comes with food. And the words of Satan to both Eve and to Jesus, they sound good and they sound right. Doesn't God want you to have food? Do you think that if God really loved you, that he'd let you go through life like this, hungry and in need? Satan seeks to arouse the desires of the flesh. And Eve fell for the trick, and she dragged all of us as her children down with her into that bondage from which we can never set ourselves free. But Jesus takes that same temptation, that same desire of the flesh, and he comes out victorious. Jesus takes everything that is wrong with us, our mistrust in God's provision. He takes our unbelief that God will care for us and cast doubt on the promises of God. Jesus takes all of that doubt and mistrust, and he fights back with the Word of God. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And in this way, Jesus triumphs over that first thing, over the desires of the flesh. So Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and tries once again to cast doubt upon the Word of God that God had spoken to Christ. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. God will surely protect you if you're so important. If you're this hotshot Son of God, God will send his angels and they'll make sure that no harm would come to you." Theologians throughout the history of the church say that this temptation to throw himself down from the pinnacle, that this was the most difficult temptation that Christ faced. This temptation to see if God will really protect him, if God will really do the things that he has promised to do through Jesus Christ. And Jesus again takes all that is wrong with us, all of our desire to see some fantastic miracle done by God, to see God do something special just for us. See, Jesus takes all of that. And he combats the temptation again with the Word of God. He says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And in this way, Jesus triumphs over the desires of our eyes. So Satan then takes Jesus to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of this world and all of their glory. And Satan tells Jesus, "All of these I will give to you if you just fall down and worship me." Satan seeks to stir up the pride of life in Jesus. Satan tells Jesus, "Jesus, you can be king of the lot. All of it I will give to you. All the power that is mine I'll put at your disposal. The two of us together, we could hardly go wrong if you just do things a little bit more my way. But Jesus again takes all that is wrong with us. Our desire to be like God, our pride and our desire to choose our own destiny and create our own future. Jesus takes all of that and strikes back once again with the word of God saying, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And in this way, Jesus triumphs over the pride of life. Do you see what Jesus does? Jesus takes all three of those things that Satan stirred up in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He takes all of those things that combat and come at us today, the desires of the eyes, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he conquers them all. You have a Messiah who defeats all of the temptations, all of the things that this world and Satan would ever throw at you. And he conquers them all for you. Jesus, in conquering over these temptations, reverses the fall. He redoes history in the way that God intended it to be done. And our epistle lesson does such a beautiful job of showing us how this works, talking about how Adam was a type of the one who is to come. He's talking there about Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the new Adam, who brings life to all mankind. Look at Romans 5:18, that verse from our epistle text. And just listen, let Paul fill in all of the blanks here for you. In Romans 5:18, Paul says, "As Adam's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so Christ's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." Christ has defeated the enemy. Christ has crushed Satan's head, and Jesus' victory is your victory. Just as Adam's fall was your fall, Christ's victory is your victory. And that's whether you believe it or not. The only victory available is through Christ. And to announce that to you is to show you the gospel. Because it is for you, just as death spread to all men, the righteousness of Christ is there for all men. Everything that Christ has done, all of that is credited to your account through faith in Jesus Christ. And brother and sister, I tell you, temptations will come. Temptations will come and you will fall into them. You will fall into sin. It will happen. However, that is the time to flee. To flee to the one who has already defeated Satan. To repent and flee back to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was tempted for you, he's never tempted to turn you away. Jesus, his work is your work. His crucifixion is your crucifixion. His resurrection is your resurrection. His ascension is your ascension. And whatever belongs to the head, whatever belongs to Christ, belongs to you who are the body of Christ. It's given freely for the sake of your Savior who has done it all for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen.